Welcome in, latest episode of that SEC podcast. I'm your host, Michael Bratton. Go by SEC Mike on the Twitters. And there he is, everybody's favorite cousin, Homer Simpson. What's up, buddy?
Hey, buddy, what's going on?
Oh, happy Halloween, Shane. Wow, you went all out this episode.
Oh, yeah. So, my daughter, she's the artist. She whipped this thing up. I thought she did a hell of a job. So,
no, yeah, she did. I mean, it's creepy as hell. This is very difficult to read the comments, but I'm going to do my best. If anybody can't tell, I'm a Kentucky fan. Go Cats over here. Yeah. Mine was a lot easier to do than yours, but, man, you look fantastic.
Well, thank you. It's all these donuts I've been eating. I know this is just a prop, but odds that this prop makes it to the show is pretty low right now.
What kind of donut is that?
So this is just a classic, you know. And you know, we went down to Universal, and they had a donut spot down there, you know. So it was kind of cool. So I've had the Simpsons on my mind since that trip, but I didn't really think about doing it. And then I stumbled across a video. I was like, you know what? What other bald guy can I've done faster? What other? I started looking at. I was going to do the wrestler, but I mean, I'm afraid kids wouldn't even know who it was, you know, because it's been so long since they've seen Bam Bam. So I was like, you know, I got to do something a little bit more temporary. So, I mean, this is a classic. It's been around forever. So I love it, and can't wait to take it off.
That might be permanent, Shane. Have you thought about that?
It may be.
Well, I'll tell you what else is permanent, Shane.
Yeah.
The love from this man.
The legend, cousin JR, has done it again.
Shout out, JR. Damn, it's so hard to see through these, but I appreciate you, JR. He gifted Naz Carmen, I'm sure I butchered that. Naz, welcome
to the family.
And then we had David Reeve. David became a member. Shout out, David. We appreciate you, buddy.
Welcome to the family, brother.
And then Steven Up.
Way showing up for them boys in Tuscaloosa. It's Steven Up. Roll Tide.
He gifted wins. Welcome to the family. Oh, buddy. So, Homer, what game are you most excited about this weekend in SEC?
Easy. Tennessee-Oklahoma. Just because I've talked to a lot of Sooner boys. They're going to be – and girls going to be heading this way. And we're going to get to go to this game. I'll have my girls with me. And, you know, had a – awesome cousin reach out and gave us these tickets, so I'm looking forward to using them and seeing the tailgates, man. I put out a link on the Twitters, you know, trying to find where everybody's tailgate's at. I'll try to get to as many as I can, but you know how it is, Mike. You know how it is. By the time I get to that fourth good one, you know, I kind of like to plant my flag and just stay right there, you know. So I'm looking forward to seeing all the Vol fans, all the Sooner fans, and more importantly, having an awesome game here in East Tennessee.
Yeah, no doubt. All right, Shane. So, I mean, people think I'm Roush today. I'm not Roush, but apparently we have spies. We saw Roush. We didn't see him, but did you hear about that, Shane?
What's that?
Your brother saw Roush at the Austin airport today.
Oh, big time. Prime time. What's he doing down there in Austin? Oh, wait. No, yeah. No. What is he doing in Austin?
Well, I don't know. He didn't ask him, which he chickened out.
The media's done gave up on Kentucky. They're just they're getting their vacations in early. I like it.
Liquid says, since you couldn't do it, you have to tell us your costume idea. Well, I want to save it because I think we're going to do it at some point.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, yeah, yeah. No, it's along the lines that Mike has right now. So,
all right. Hey, Shade. All right. Before we get to the picks.
Yes.
Here's an update. Here's where we are. The cousins, shout out. Cousins are in the lead with 74. Steven right there with them, the smart one, of course. I'm at 72. Shane's at dead last, 71. But this is the week Shane catches up. And shout out cousin Glenn Warsaw. He's our cousin picker. So we'll reveal his predictions at the end of the show. But are you feeling good that you're going to catch up this week?
I don't know about catching up, you know, because honestly, I put some of these picks in. I'm like, I think a smart cousin would pick this pick, you know, so I don't know how much I'm going to gain. And that's the key, Mike. I feel like it's just like golf. You find yourself in the woods. You see a little hole. You're like, hey, I can hit it there, or I can just bump it back in the fairway. I may be bumping it back in the fairway this week.
Hey, shout out Razor Bass. He said, Shane, are you dressed as Brian Kelly? All right. Let's get to, man, this is so difficult, but I'm committed to it at this point, Shane. Shout out our tremendous friends over there at Prize Picks. Don't forget, Shane, if you don't want to wager on the games, maybe you just want to wager on the over-under, or excuse me, the player projections, go check them out. PrizePicks.com, promo code SEC. Get you $5 off of 50. So go check them out. $5, you get 50. Are you ready to hear my prize picks?
I'm ready. Go ahead.
I don't think you are, Shane. I don't think you are. Because shout out this man. I mean, he's playing his ass off. Joey Aguilar, right?
Mm-hmm.
Longest completion against Oklahoma Sooners.
Yeah.
42.5 is the projection. Longest pass for Joey Aguilar. I bet you think I'm going with the more than.
Yeah.
Give me the less than. Come on. Oklahoma's got a hell of a lot better secondary than my Kentucky Wildcats. So, again, everybody's thinking the more than. I'm going to go less for Joey Aguilar. I do not think he gets a 43-yard pass completion. What's your thoughts?
Let me see if is Brazzle Dazzle hurt is no, they're all there. So I don't like that one at all, Mike.
Okay. Well, I think you'll love this one.
Uh-huh.
John Moneyline Mateer, passing and rushing combined. So total yardage, 282.5 combined yardage. Give me the less than. I think Tennessee corrals his ass, and it's got less to do with Tennessee's defense, honestly, and more to do with how he's been struggling here lately. Mm-hmm. But give me the less than 282.5 yards for John Mateer.
I like that. I like that. Yeah, I feel like that's what you got to do. If you can limit the rushing, and I just don't see that he's going to get that many passing. So you may be right, maybe on something, but you're usually wrong. So it worries me.
All right, how about this one, Shade? Carolina running back Rashul Faison. Yeah. I know he had the big mistake that led to the pick six, but he really got going last week for Carolina against Alabama. Rushing and receiving, so I'm combining them.
Yeah.
51.5 rushing and receiving. Give me the more than against them Ole Miss Rebels. I think he can get to 52 total yards.
I like that, Mike. I like that. Ole Miss, they've been suspect on that side, you know, so I do like this one.
I love that. I can't take you serious for that, Mike. All right, how about, man, this Georgia, remember I told you Georgia's got like number one most efficient offense in the country.
Yes.
Zachariah Branch, receiver. Gators got a lot of banged up players in the secondary.
Mm-hmm.
55.5 receiving yards. Give me the more than for Zachariah Branch. What do you think?
I don't know. Does Mike Bubba even know this guy's on the team? You know? I do worry about this one because I've been waiting for Branch to have that breakout game.
Yeah.
And he's just not had it. So maybe this is the week. Like you said, they got a little banged up in the secondary, obviously, with the new coach and stuff. This may be a game that gets out of hand, and it can get out of hand by a couple explosive plays by a guy like Branch. So I don't hate that one. I don't hate that one at all, Mike.
Okay, last one I got. I love this guy, but I don't know about this week, Shane.
Yeah.
Vanderbilt tight end Eli Stowers going up against mighty Texas. 40.5 receiving yards. I think it's going to be a low-scoring game. I don't think either one is going to be like a high-flying offense. So give me the less than 40.5 receiving yards for Eli Stowers against mighty Texas.
Yeah, you said more than, right?
Less than.
Oh, no. Give me more than. Give me more than. Yes. In the first half, more than.
Oh, baby. Eli Stowers?
Okay. Yeah. Yep. Yeah, I feel like he is the offense to an extent, you know. Pavia's always looking for this guy. And if they're going to whether they're winning or losing, if they're winning, they're having success. If they're losing, they're trying to get back in this thing. I believe Stowers is going to be a huge part of that.
Working to get back. You hate Manor, man. I forgot. How can you hate him but also think their tight end is going to go off? I don't know. But all right, that's fair. That's fair. Wait, and you're right. I'm usually wrong. So go check them out. Prize Picks. SEC, code SEC, Shane. $5 get you 50. All right. How about this one, Shane? Before we get to our picks, shout out our guy, James Bryant. I don't know if he wants to be associated with us with these how we look today, but we've got the Week 10 weather report from our good buddy, cousin James Bryant. Go check him out, meteorologist James Bryant on Facebook. He's got over 100,000 followers. And check him out on Twitter, too, at KATV. Appreciate you, cousin James. Weather's going to be great this weekend. It's a little bit of a shorter one. And don't forget, he's got a pick in here, too.
Well, the first week of November is almost here. That means we're drawing closer to the end of the college football season, but a lot of great SEC matchups to get through. Before we get there, the weather this weekend, turning cooler definitely at many SEC locations. It's really going to be nice. Not really much of weather issues as we look at this weekend. Let's look at the slate. We've got Vanderbilt going to Austin, and for that game, not bad at all. 65 at kickoff, sunny, the high is 76. We can't rule out a few afternoon showers at that location, but generally, I think this is going to be a really good game. Now to the afternoon slate. So we've got Georgia going to Florida, 3:30 Eastern, 2:30 Central. It will be 71 at kickoff, sunny. With a light wind, great weather there in Northeast Florida. As you look back towards Fayetteville, we've got a cold front coming through, and that is going to result in a small chance of showers, like 20%. The showers are not the big deal, but the high is only going to be 55 degrees, so it will be chillier. We'll have a light north wind at 5 to 10 miles per hour. That game kicks at 3 p.m. Central. And then the night games was where most of the SEC action will take place. We've got three great matchups. And we'll first look in Oxford, Mississippi, South Carolina at Ole Miss at 7 Eastern, 6 Central. We're looking at mostly cloudy skies in Oxford with a high of 61. That kickoff temp will be 57. And by the end of the game, we'll have temperatures in the low 50s. We can't rule out a light shower, but the chance for rain is not very high. Now to the east in Knoxville, 6:30 Central, 7:30 Eastern. Just perfect, exactly what you would expect. Fall weather for this game. It'll be 56 at kickoff. We'll have upper 40s by the end of the game. A light shower or two again at this location is possible towards the end of the game, but the rain chances are not high. They are higher after the conclusion of this game. And then down in Auburn, Kentucky at Auburn, the high temperature there is a beautiful 67 degrees. By the time that game kicks off, we'll have highs in the upper 50s with increasing clouds. So it's a short update for you this week. The weather is really looking good around the conference. A lot of great games. My pick this week, Mississippi State, going to beat Arkansas, and we'll keep Arkansas winless in the conference. Pains me to do it. Remember, I'm an Arkansas fan, Mississippi State grad. This weekend, it's the Heartbreak Bowl in Northwest Arkansas. Both teams refuse to win. Somebody's got to this weekend, though, and I'm picking Mississippi State. Enjoy your weekend.
So shout out to Cousin James Bryant. We appreciate you, buddy. Sounds like it's going to be a heck of a weekend in the SEC. You know what?
Yes, it is. Thank you, Stephen Up. She's gonna like this. She did work hard on this, and we'll get her something. That'll buy her what? Like one? What does that get you in Neyland anymore? $20? Like a Coke?
We appreciate you, buddy. All right.
Yeah, thank you.
Man, this bag is all over the place here. All right, Shane.
Yeah.
Let's get into our first game. Dun dun dun. Big one here. I mean, they're all big. You know what? Well, I'm calling it the buyout bowl. Come on, Shane. Kentucky, my Kentucky Wildcats at Auburn, Shane. Auburn favored by 11.5. The over-under is, shit, I didn't write it down. Over-under, I got it right here. Over-under is 44.5. Not a lot of points in this one, buddy. Night game, SEC Network, 7:30 Eastern, 6:30 Central. Who do you like, Kentucky at Auburn?
golly, you may have to take that thing off. Your beard is going to town on that thing. Mike, I don't like either one of these right now, to be honest with you. It's like which team is more likely to lose is kind of how I kind of place this one. And I went back and forth, there's some things, man. I've said this, and I've said it many weeks now. There's several teams in the Southeastern Conference which are improving weekly right now, but it's at a smaller scale. You don't see it because it's not changing the win-loss column. Kentucky's one of those. You know, I got to see it last week, but I got to see it all the way back in Georgia when Cutter Bowley, like when he first cut loose, I said, damn, they finally got themselves a quarterback. And I wish they would have started with this kid week one. I feel like Kentucky'd be in a better spot by now. But anyway, I feel like this is a football team you can't sleep on. Now, Auburn, coming off a high, right? It's not a great win, but it is a win, to say the least. Hugh Freeze was very emotional about this one. And does this fire up the locker room? You know, does this get the boys back together? I mean, we've got quarterback controversy. We've got a star wide receiver. Is he even playing? Is Cam playing in this thing?
I don't know.
Yeah. Well, whether he is or not, I feel like this thing is going to come down the damn wire. I'm about to drive down there and take that damn bag off your head. Give me Kentucky 20, Auburn 21. And I can't Morristown Honda this thing because I'm saving that for another game.
And we don't know even who's going to be the quarterback for Auburn, Chang.
Yeah.
Last I heard, Hugh Freeze said, we believe in both of them. I mean, does he really? I don't know. I don't know what the hell. I don't believe anything Hugh Freeze says anyway. But, you know, why he got benched, we all know. Because Jackson Arnold, he threw the pick six. That was the one thing he couldn't do. He wasn't turning the ball over, Shane.
Yeah.
What does Ashton Daniels do more than anything? Turns the damn ball over. He's thrown 20 picks in 2 years.
Yeah.
And Auburn, you know, as awful as they've been with their shitty record, they have not turned the ball over this year. They're 4-4 despite not turning. They're like the exact opposite of last year.
Yeah.
To where they're not turning the ball over, yet they still can't do anything with it. The best thing Kentucky can do is run the football, but their quarterback is starting to heat up. The best thing Auburn does is stop the run. So, I don't know where to go with this thing. And Auburn, they can't protect the quarterback to save their life, Shane. They're dead last in the country. They've given up 30 sacks.
Yeah.
Kentucky can't get to the passer. They've only got 11 sacks this year. That's 113th in the country. Both these teams are dog shit in the red zone. Auburn is 129th in red zone touchdown percentage, but Kentucky's 113th in red zone touchdown percentage allowed. Don't know who's playing. Kentucky, Shane, they've won one road game in the past two seasons. Auburn has one home win versus a Power 4 opponent in the last two seasons. So, this game is a travesty. And if I wasn't such a big Kentucky fan, Shane, I'd be rooting for them. I'd be picking Kentucky to win this game, but I ain't doing it. Even though I got no respect for Hugh Freeze, I got no confidence in him to win a game. Give me Auburn 27. Give me Kentucky, my Kentucky Wildcats 24. And I think the loser of this game, Shane, I think it was an outstanding shot. They're not the coach come Monday.
And, you know, I think about how ugly this game was last year. You know, how many dumb mistakes were in this thing. Kentucky had, it was almost comical. And I'm not saying that's what we have here, but I do feel like if this game was back in Lexington this week, I would probably give Kentucky the edge here, but it is on the plains, and that place will be, they'll be ready. I mean, it's Halloween weekend. It'll be wild. It'll be crazy. So this could be a blowout. I ain't gonna lie now that I'm talking about it, but I feel like classic Hugh Freeze is going to keep it close and win by one.
Any shot Kentucky blows them out. I mean, Cutter Bowley's been playing better than he has. And again, we saw Kentucky. The reason they lost is because Swagular and these receivers were carving them up.
Yes.
Auburn can't throw the ball to save their life.
Yeah, I go back to, again, that Georgia game I mentioned, and I just saw moments in there that if it wasn't such a talent gap, that I felt like Kentucky really could have made that thing interesting. But, you know, and I'm not saying Auburn doesn't have that talent gap, but they may be overlooking this team. You know, yeah. this is a football team that nobody is going to respect. And it's kind of hard when you saw a Tennessee team put 50 points. You're just like, well, shit, we're going to put 50 points on. Not so fast, my friend. This Kentucky team's got a couple of ballers on it. And, yeah, if it's one of those that they jump out early and then Auburn makes some dumb mistakes, I definitely could see this thing getting out of hand Kentucky's way. But, again, location is the main thing for me.
Yeah, no, I don't know about you. I got no confidence in this pick one way or another.
No, given the bag, I understand.
All right, how about this one, Shane? Mississippi State at Arkansas. How about it, Shane? I still can't believe all week. I thought maybe this was going to flip, but Arkansas favored to beat Mississippi State. Again, I don't have a great confidence in the Razorbacks either, but they're favored by 4.5 points. Mm-hmm. The over-under is 67.5, so there could be a high-scoring game. 4 o'clock Eastern, 3 o'clock Central on the SEC Network, Shane. Mississippi State, they've lost 16 conference games in a row. Arkansas, they've lost 7 conference games in a row. Somebody's got to win. Who's it going to be, Shane?
That's the key. Somebody has to win, right? And I'm telling you right now, I watching both these teams, it's been kind of frustrating. And I'm not even a fan, right? I feel like if you're an Arkansas fan, you're just, golly, did we just waste the best quarterback to come through our university since you-know-who, you know? So I feel like that's part of the questioning. And then you look over at Mississippi State and you say, damn, we could have had Tennessee. We could have had Florida. We could have had Texas. We could be sitting here at 7 wins and everybody talking about how great Mississippi State is, man. And I feel like they're the poor version of Texas A&M. You know, you talk about balance. They got it. They got it. They got pressure on the defensive front just enough. They've got a great running game, especially if both running backs are healthy. I think Blake Shapen doesn't get enough respect. He's also got a little mobility to him. So, yeah, I feel like Mississippi State is sitting there. But there's so many fans upset because Levy just has let some of this in-game management slip from him. I don't think it happens this week, Mike. I have zero faith that Arkansas is going to win a game because there's some bad juju there. I don't know what voodoo doll that somebody's got over them or something, but there is just some bad magic going on there in Arkansas. And I have zero confidence that they'll win this game, even though they probably should. Give me Mississippi State lock of the week, 38. Oh. Arkansas 28, a lot of points in this game. You hit the nail on the head, but I feel like this is going to come down to a couple of mistakes on the Arkansas side.
Ooh, damn confident, huh? Lock of the week and everything.
Give me more cowbell.
Or donuts. Hey, give me more Andrew West. Appreciate you. Hey, Cousin Shane, me and my wife will be at the Tennessee game Saturday. Is there anywhere you will be specific time and place? Would love to get a picture if possible. Love the show. I listen every day at
Hell
work.
Yeah. Go Vols. Yeah, so I'm going to be starting at the rec park or the rec fields, and then I got a lot of folks that hit me up on G20. Is that what it's called? The one right beside the stadium. Yeah. So I'm probably going to spend a lot of time there as well. But I'm just going to walk around, man, try to walk some of these donuts off. So hopefully, we'll see. I'm going to be in the Z section if I'm not mistaken. But kind of hard when you're in the stadium to find me. Well, if I'm wearing this, it won't be too hard. but truthfully, I'm going to do that. And then up there where the other tailgate spots are usually going to be. So, yeah, I'll be walking around. And like I said, you can't miss me. Just yell at me.
Hey, Cousin Ronnie, I didn't know Shane owned a different color shirt.
This one goes under the polo, you know?
All right. So now, I like a lot of what you had to say, Shane, particularly Proof. Mississippi State. One thing they can do is run the football, and Arkansas is just complete dog shit when it comes to defending the run. Over 200 yards they allow rushing in conference games. So I think Mississippi State's going to have a lot of success on the ground. Fluff Bothwell.
Yeah.
It sounds like he's going to be back. I don't know. And hell, Davin Booth was running so well. It's not like they necessarily need him, but the more bodies, the better, especially Bothwell. I think he's your best overall player on offense. So that's big for Mississippi State. Again, if Talen Green can get hot, though, Arkansas could very well win this game. You know,
yeah,
this is another one where I don't really have confidence in either team, and it's like which one, who's going to blow this game? Because that's all they've both been doing.
Right,
you could be up in the fourth quarter by multiple touchdowns, two touchdowns in this game, and I still don't have confidence in you to win it. But which team is still going to be fighting? Which team's got that give up, Shane? I think, and I hope I'm wrong, but I think Arkansas's got that give up in them, Shane. I think they're still fighting hard for Jeff Libby, even though he don't know how to run a program. He knows how to call plays and coach a quarterback, but that's about it. So I got no confidence in this, but give me Mississippi State 38, give me Arkansas 35.
Well, so much for making ground on Mike, huh?
Hey, Ole Miss said, I knew Shane was a Tennessee homer.
Oh, dope!
All right, how about this one, Shane? Another barn burner here in the Southeastern Conference. We've got South Carolina on the road, Shane, at Ole Miss. Ole Miss Rebels favored by 12.5 points. The over-under's 55.5 total points. Mm-hmm. 7 o'clock Eastern, 6 Central on ESPN. Before you make your pick, Shane.
Yes.
Beamer, I don't know if you know this. He's 13-4 in November as Carolina's coach. Who you got in the ball game?
Man, this is, you want to talk about classic trap game right here, right? Yeah. Just Ole Miss overlooking. I mean, they just come off that big win on the road. They're already eyeing the SEC championship, you know, maybe a college football playoffs. This is their time. But South Carolina can ruin it. South Carolina can absolutely ruin it because they still, I think, have one of the best quarterbacks in the country. And yes, I know Lenoris has not impressed you as much as he should. But the fact that it's all on his shoulders says more about the football team than he needs some help. And if they can get the running game going, which is very possible against this Ole Miss football team, I feel like South Carolina with that balance could be absolutely dangerous. We saw a little bit of a fiery defense come awake here the last couple of weeks. And, man, they need it. Golly, Shane Beamer and company need this one. But, Ole Miss is probably one of, if not the best team in the country, right below Oklahoma. And I would say, they ain't stopping anytime soon. We talked about them potentially skipping the SEC championship last year. By God, this team is not going to take their foot off the gas this time. They could just turn on the Washington State game. Just watch that one again, you know? So they've been scared. They know exactly what happens if you take a week off, and that's something they're not going to do this week. So give me Ole Miss big, 38. South Carolina 24.
Oh, two touchdowns, huh?
Yeah.
And Rebs is covering.
Yeah, I like him. I almost locked it, but it seems like I'm always locking Ole Miss or Vanderbilt or somebody, you know? I thought I'd pick on Mississippi State, the other team.
What if last week, though, Shane, where them Gamecocks really pushed Bama to the limit?
Yeah.
What if that's more of what we're getting from the Gamecocks? I mean, there are reports that they've kind of tinkered with the play calling.
Yes.
And I think that certainly paid off. And, you know, minus a couple questionable calls, maybe Carolina would have won against maybe the best team in the country, Alabama. If that Carolina shows up, maybe we got us a ball game. And you're right. I mean, Ole Miss, I mean, come on, Atlanta. College football playoff, we're already eyeing all that. And, oh, by the way, Kiffin's leaving. Oh, I mean, I don't think he is. But, you know, that's all the talk, so they're hearing that. Mm-hmm. There's a lot going on in Oxford right now. How locked in, how focused is this football team? This might be – yeah, could you imagine, Shane, if I told you that in the preseason
– yeah.
You know, because we were pretty hyped after we saw Austin Simmons. We were like, oh, my God, this is the guy right here, right? But but what if I told you, well, they're going to be down to Trinidad Chambliss, whoever the hell that is, in the preseason, and Carolina's got Lenoris Sellers. We would have said, massive massive advantage at the quarterback spot in this football game. And you know what? We'd be absolutely right. We just have the wrong team. Chambliss is the real deal, Shane. He might be the damn Heisman winner, believe it or not. So I like everything you said, Shane. I think I was just kind of pumping up them cocks here. I got to pump up them cocks for a second, Shane, to tell you that Ole Miss is the lock of the week. They're going to whip the shit out of Carolina. Give me Ole Miss. Can't see my keyboard here. Ole Miss 30, South Carolina 13. Lock of the week.
I like the nickname Winadad, you know, so that's a pretty cool name, you know. And the way Trinidad's playing right now, Mike, I mean, if we could go back day one and you did your quarterback rankings, I mean, would you have him over Lenora Sellers as
in the preseason?
No,
he'd be 16.
No. I'm saying like knowing what you know now. You know?
Oh, yeah. No, you can't, it's not even a question.
Okay.
I think Chambliss is probably top three.
Phew, buddy.
You know?
Wasn't even starting.
And what's crazy is the top three is probably Ty Simpson, Marcel Reed, and Chambliss.
Yeah.
I don't think any of those guys, even for those fan bases, was top three. And if A&M will tell you they had him there, they're lying to you. You know, now he's been amazing, right?
But yes,
even I'm sure they believed in him. But top three, no, they're lying if they told you that. All right,
yes.
Speaking of lying,
my face ID doesn't work on my phone. I have to keep putting my code in.
Who you got in this one? I don't know why I said lying. Georgia, Shade at. Or excuse me, versus Florida in Jacksonville, of course. Georgia, them dogs, Shane. Here's where I think they're lying. I think they're lying about this line. How about it? Only 7.5, the Mighty Dogs is favored by what?
What?
Over under 50.5 total points, 330 Eastern, 230 Central, nationally televised on ABC. Them dogs, Shane. They've won 4 in a row in this series and 7 of the last 8. Who wins it in Jacksonville?
Oh, brother. You know, I always worry about interim coaches, right? It just feels like sometimes they catch fire. And I did some research on this earlier in the season, and you'd be kind of amazed at how much non-success these interim coaches have.
we have one guy have success. We're like, it can happen.
It can happen. And I told you, man, early in the week, I worry about this Florida Gator team just a little bit because they were, I mean, say what you want. Billy Napier was a player's coach, right?
Yeah.
And I feel like something like a Brian Kelly scenario, which we'll get to here in a minute. He's gone. I feel like there's like people are excited there. I would guarantee you there's players in that locker room that are happy. I don't know if there's that many that are happy that Billy Napier's gone. So are we going to a funeral? You know, are we going to a football game where we're a touchdown underdog? I mean, this thing should be in your grasp. There's no reason that the Florida Gators can't keep this up. I like the progress that DJ Lagway has had. I mean, you removed the LSU game. He's actually been pretty dang good here lately. I love this tenacious defense, man. They're stingy. They're banged up, but they're stingy and just maybe give Georgia enough. I don't know, man. I go back and forth in this game, and honestly, and I'm not saying this because I miss Billy Napier, but I feel like if Billy were there, this would have been a closer game, but he's not. So give me Georgia, and I'm not confident this at all, but I feel like this is an opportunity where Georgia can just get that couple score lead and just hold on to it the entire game. Georgia 31, Florida 21.
Ooh, 10 points, huh?
Yeah. Yeah, I'm not sold on Georgia's defense. That's the only thing. If Georgia's defense was playing like I thought they were at the start of the season, this should be a blowout. But I feel like they let Florida get back into this one.
What do you think, Shane? Do you think Florida fans, what would they rather? They only get one, right?
Yes.
You get a win on Saturday, or you get Lane Kiffin at the end of the year? Which one?
Oh, Lane Kiffin. Give me Kiffin. Yeah. Yeah.
And that's saying something because they hate Georgia. And they haven't won in a while, but I wonder how much that is, you know, not just the fans. Obviously, the fans are you know, they're going to be eyeing the next coach. But you got to wonder in that locker room, how much is on that? You know, how are they eyeing? Where am I going to be next year? Is the new coach going to want me? You know, if you're a good player, probably, but who knows? Kiffin's he's a little unique. He may be bringing all his guys, you know, from, I don't think he's leaving, but they think he is. So, you know, these are big questions down there in Gainesville, I would think, as they head into Jacksonville. Kirby takes this game personally. Georgia seems to be playing at their best, at least on offense. But the problem, Shane, is that defense. Come on, buddy. I think Georgia fans want to run off old Glenn Schumann's ass, and I don't blame them after the way the defense played the last couple weeks. I don't think they should run him off, obviously, but I don't blame them for suggesting it. I think this game, if Florida can get Jaden Ball going, if DJ can get a little bit of time in the pocket, I think Florida really will threaten Georgia because that's what – I mean, hell – who's Georgia beating this year? They're beating everybody, basically. But who are they blowing out this year? The only one they really blowed out was Kentucky. And that's why I got this damn bag on my head, because my Kentucky Wildcats just suck ass this year. You know, I think Florida's a lot better than Kentucky. Of course, they could lose to them next week. But I don't know. I just think Florida will – this is the one game. Interim, again, bump. I don't know if that's fair, but I don't care who the coach is. You're going to get up for this game because I think this is the most important game on Florida's schedule. I still think it is for diehard dogs, but is it for the players that there's literally not a player on Georgia's roster, Shane, that's ever lost to this team?
Right.
So is this their big game or is Bama their big game? I would wager the players it's Bama. Yeah. So give me Florida, Shane. Upset City. Against the spread. Georgia 35, Florida 28. 7.5 is the spread. So I like a 7-point win by Georgia.
More likely that Florida gets blown out or that Florida wins?
Gets blown out.
Okay.
But I don't know. I think Florida's going to show up. I really do. They might even have the lead in this one.
Man, what would be the. Let's just say, because we didn't pick it, what would be the storyline coming out of that game? Would we be given the interim coach? Would we be blaming Georgia? If Georgia does lose this game, what's the story?
I would think that, now again, I don't want to call it luck, because this is a very good team. They're more likely going to go to the college football playoff, right? But, hell, a Tennessee kick there. A questionable call against Auburn.
Yeah.
Getting dominated by Ole Miss for three quarters, or at least defensively. I mean, I would just think that the breaks, if you want to call it that, maybe they just don't go this – again, Georgia could legitimately be 1-4 in Southeastern Conference play.
Right, right.
Now, they're 4-1. And they should be recognized as a team that's winning these games and making the plays, but they're a play or two away from having a losing record, and maybe those plays go against them this week against Florida. Florida whooped Texas ass. I mean, what, that long ago? I know you remember that.
Yeah, no, absolutely I remember that. Oh, shit.
I think Billy's going to remember it for his life because that's probably the only game that Tennessee a couple years ago was only quality wins.
What do you think Billy's doing today? You know,
he's probably watching this. He's under this bag. What if I just took it off and I'm Billy Napier? All right, Shane, let's get to the night action here. Oklahoma on the road, Shane, at Mighty Tennessee. Them Vols is favored by 3.5 points. The over-under's 55.5 total points. 7:30 Eastern, 6:30 Central, nationally televised on ABC. Who do you like in this one?
Oh, man. This is going to be a great game, Mike. It's going to be a great game. Not just because I'm going to be there enjoying the concessions and the cold brewskis. It's going to be a great game because these are two really good football teams on one specific side of the football. <You know>? I think about this, one of the best offenses going against one of the greatest defense, and I don't think that should be the story. It should be the opposite. How does Tennessee's defense corral Oklahoma's shitty offense? That's kind of what I feel like this game's going to be about, is mistakes. Who makes them? Who doesn't make them? Who capitalizes on them? And, you know, I think about Oklahoma here the last 3 weeks, Mike. They're one and two, right? And if you look at the two losses, what is the common factor? Turnovers. Interceptions in the first one, you know, the punt fumble on the second one, just stupid mistakes. Even the Red River with the kickoff return or punt return or whatever it was. You know, I just feel like it's just small little mistakes throughout the game. Tennessee makes those, but they have one of the most prolific offenses in the country, and they make up those mistakes by scoring in three plays. And they have that capability, right?
Yeah.
This is going to be such a good football game. I cannot wait to see the Cousins at this one. And I'm going to be honest with you. I didn't feel good about this one until I saw a little video today. And it took me back to 2015. You remember that?
Yeah, I was there.
Baker Mayfield came in here and became the greatest quarterback in the country, right? But what you don't watch in those little highlight reels is Tennessee screwed up, right? They messed up. So do they do it two times in a row? I think not. It's a blackout. We're going to a funeral, baby. Give me Tennessee 31, Oklahoma 30, Morristown Honda.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, I feel like this is going to be one of those games that either Tennessee jumps on them early and then we slowly watch Oklahoma get back into it, or Tennessee tries to play catch up and maybe gets close, maybe even falls short. But I just feel like it's going to be one way or the other. One team's playing catch up here.
Yeah. Hey, shout out Vala Nahara.
Nahara.
Okay, hopefully I didn't butcher that. I was at the Oklahoma Ole Miss game and saw our cheeks get clapped. No confidence in this one. Cheeks may be rosy red on Saturday.
I do worry about injuries. Oklahoma bringing some injuries into this one.
Yeah. Yeah, and like I was saying, Shane, this ain't Kentucky, my Kentucky defense in this one. Mm-hmm. I don't think Oklahoma is going to get tormented over the top. I think they're going to make Tennessee nickel and dime them up and down the field. Now, Tennessee is capable. Deshaun Bishop, Star Thomas, Peyton Lewis. I think those guys got to hit at least, combined, 150 rushing yards. If Tennessee's going to get a win in this ball game, it's a night mode or a dark mode.
Yeah.
Night game. It's, you know, it's going to be hype. It's going to be exciting. This really is a playoff eliminator, I think, for both of these teams. Obviously, at both 6-2. Could Oklahoma get there at 9-3? Perhaps, but unlikely. We talked about that on the last one. They'd have to run the table and look damn impressive doing it to be even in consideration. Tennessee, with their schedule, I don't think they're in any consideration at 9-3 to make the college football playoff. But, you know, the biggest thing for me, you talk about mistakes. It's this man right here, Shane. This man right here, Muddy Mateer. He's making them here lately, right?
Yeah.
He's inaccurate. He's not seeing the field too well, and he's not blaming the injury, which I'm going to give him credit for, but I think it's kind of obvious it's the injury.
Yeah.
And he's not running the football either. So is he scared to take hits? I don't know. Maybe he's just, you know, I truly don't know. And he's putting it on himself. I like that. Hell, even Brett Venables is putting it on his ass. Brett Venables will call out his quarterback, but he won't even call out the quarterback that left, Jackson Arnold, but he'll call his own quarterback out, which is pretty interesting. Meanwhile, on Tennessee side, Shane. God. Yeah. And I have defended this man. But can we bring back Tim Banks if his defense doesn't get any better? If Oklahoma comes in here and whoops Tennessee's ass, like what if Muddy Mateer looks like Baker Mayfield 2.0 on Saturday? Yeah. I'm not saying they fire the coordinator overnight, but I would wager he's not going to be coming back next season if that's the case. So, man, there's a lot going into this one. I am concerned about Tennessee's defense, obviously. I'm very concerned about Oklahoma's offense. Not concerned at all about Oklahoma's defense. Not concerned about Tennessee's offense. And here's a big key to the game, Shane.
Yeah.
As good as Oklahoma is, on defense. They've only forced four turnovers. That's 132nd in the country. That's awful, awful, awful. So they've got to force a turnover if they have any shot to win this ball game, Shane. But what is one thing we know about Josh Heupel and them Tennessee Vols and Neyland Stadium, Shane? They don't lose, particularly at night. So give me Tennessee 27, Oklahoma 30. Oklahoma goes into Neyland Stadium, spanks Tennessee, eliminates them. Josh Heupel, you wish you were Oklahoma's coach. You'll never be Oklahoma's coach. We fired your ass. Get the hell out of here, and we're going to fire you from the playoffs on Saturday night with Homer Simpson in attendance over here.
Doe. You evil bastard. You just say what we all think, and that's the only thing I concern. Maybe it's the battered ball syndrome in me, you know. It's just, what if Mateer gets confidence? That's the thing. Just John Mateer, is since that thumb surgery, he's been all out of whack. And can Tim Banks create enough? Obviously, straight up, I don't know if they're going to get pressure on him, but maybe they can orchestrate something. Maybe they can be exotic with their blitz packages here, because I would rather put the pressure on John to win this game with his arm. That's the Sooner magic, you know.
Right.
But I'm always afraid, man, that they come out here with a 15 play drive and Tennessee fans are mad and quiet. You know, we've got to stay on them, jump on them early, and I hope I'll say this, Mike. Tennessee wins the coin toss. They better ask for the ball and pray to God they score on that first possession. Because if they do and they open this thing up, then I feel like Tennessee can win. But this is going to be back and forth. It's going to be a good, good football game, man.
Hey, who was it? Ashley Schaefer. He said, man, really embracing the Kentucky persona. All right, final matchup, Shane. Mighty Vanderbilt on the road at Texas. Mighty Texas, Shane. Both these teams ranked, both of them well alive for the college football playoff and hell, even the SEC championship, believe it or not. But the loser won't be alive for that, for the SEC championship at least. Give me Texas, favored by 3.5 points at home. Over-under is 45.5, so one of the lowest scoring totals in the SEC this weekend. Noon Eastern, 11 a.m. Central, nationally televised on ABC. And how about it, Shane? Vanderbilt owns Texas. One of my favorite stats. This is about the only team that owns them. But who do you like in this one? Vanderbilt at Texas.
Oh, man. Going to be a good game here. And I feel like being an early matchup is very pivotal for Vanderbilt, right? Let's don't get the fans involved with this one. Let's lull them to sleep. Let's play some Vanderbilt football. Let's drag this thing out. Let's keep the ball away. I will say this. Vanderbilt did not play their best game last week. Hell, they haven't really played a great game, in my opinion, since that LSU game, and maybe you could argue before the Bama game there. It feels like, I'm not saying we've figured them out, but they're going to have to think outside the box, because they're going against one of the best defenses in the country, and they know what Pavi is going to bring in here, because they got to play it last year and almost – I'm not saying they almost lost, but, I mean, there was a moment, right? And I feel like that haunts them a little bit. But now no one is overlooking Vanderbilt. Shit, they're getting game day. They're coming out here. They're getting some big wins. Pavi is coming to town. They're ranked higher than Texas, which still blows my mind. And they're the underdog. I just have no faith in this offense. I keep waiting, man. I really do. I wanted to think that Texas is here, man. That not only they're here, but this is a playoff team. And I even kind of slightly bought into the Arch Mania, right?
Slightly.
All right. I was all there. Dough on me. You know, I'm not convinced. And I'm telling you right now, this team does not match well with Texas. This feels like, yeah. It still blows my mind that Vanderbilt, again, I keep saying it, this is the one you need to put your money on right here, because Vanderbilt's going down there to Austin and they're getting them a damn victory. Give me Vanderbilt 24, Texas 20. We're firing somebody after this game. It won't be the coach, but It may be offensive play calling by old Sarkisian. He's going to relinquish the reins to someone else, I would imagine.
You're finally jumping on the Vandy bandwagon, huh?
Yeah, I mean, them little scrappy, dirty bastards, they play dirty. I get it. But they're going to get down there, and they're going to scrap around with these cats, and I feel like – I just don't like them. I don't like this matchup. I just feel like everything that Texas has been good at, Vanderbilt's good at stopping and vice versa. So I feel like Vanderbilt pairs well with Texas here, and that's why I don't like this matchup at all for the Longhorns.
No, I get it, Shane. And again, I know it's very popular to pile on Arch.
Yeah.
Not that he's had a very good season. I mean, hell, we've been very clear about that. But I also think he's playing his best football.
Mm-hmm.
Now, unfortunately, he's banged up, and I don't know that he's going to go. I think he is. But there's to my knowledge, there's been no determination up to this point. So I think Texas really needs him. I know Caldwell, the backup, he's looked good, like the three passes I've seen. He's looked money, right?
Yeah.
On those three passes. But if he's got to throw it 30 times a game, I don't think he can out-duel Pavi. I really don't. So if Arch doesn't go in this game, I think Vanderbilt wins. And, hell, Shane, they may win comfortably without him. But we still got a great defense here in Austin, last time I checked, Shane. And Vanderbilt, as good as they are and have been, and they are a legitimate top 10 team in the country, they have really started to kind of cool down on the offensive side of the football as they face tougher competition. Now, they had their way against LSU. LSU, we all know, fired their damn coach. So, I'm not trying to take it away from them. They won that big game. But Missouri and Alabama had a lot more success. So I think Texas, they probably got a better defense than both those teams, Alabama and Missouri. So I think Texas is going to really corral Vanderbilt. Again, low-scoring game.
Yep.
But I'm right there with you. I mean, I know they did it against Mississippi State, but I think that was more that was desperation. That was getting in a hole. That was playing carefree. And Mississippi State is, they just tanked that damn game themselves. So I think we'll get more of the Kentucky Texas than we do Mississippi State, which is going to be unfortunate for people like your brother that are there to watch an exciting ball game. I think it's going to be low scoring. And all, you're right, Shane. All the statistics, Shane, tell me to take Vanderbilt.
Mm-hmm.
And I've been doing it. I think I've picked Vanderbilt to – I don't think I've picked him to lose a game yet this year, Shane. And, hell, I'm like there. The only one I got wrong was Bama.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I can't pick Vanderbilt wrong, right? And I'm rooting for them each week because I want them to make the playoff. I want them to save your life, Homer, so make you do some walking. And I think I got Vanderbilt pegged this week too, Shane. Give me Texas 24, Vanderbilt 17, the Longhorns pulling the, well, not really even upset, but technically an upset if you just look at the rankings. I think Texas stays alive in the college football playoff race, and hell, Vanderbilt still alive too with a loss. So yeah. I think that edge there where Texas has to have it. Vanderbilt, I think if Vanderbilt wins this game, they're in the playoff.
Mm-hmm.
But if they lose it, they're still alive. Cannot say that about Texas. So give me Texas 24, Vanderbilt 17.
Oh, but what if, what if Vanderbilt got – people get fired. They always get fired after Vanderbilt wins a game, even though they're top 10, It's like – and I'm not saying – again, I'm not saying Sarkisian gets fired or anything like that. But, I mean, there has to be some sort of accountability. And the way the season has played, and you're sitting over here, and we know exactly – it's not like Auburn where we could say, well, Hugh Freeze only does first and third downs or whatever, It's like, no, we know Sarkisian calls every single play, and then we watch this offense and the lack thereof, even though we know they've got plenty of weapons. There's kids on that roster. They're going to be drafted and playing well in the NFL, and I feel like there'll have to be some accountability. But – all that goes right out the window if you get a big win at home. And top 10 win, I don't give a shit who it is. A top 10 win's a win. And I feel like this could be the scrappy team that you talked about, the one I just talked about, Vanderbilt, man. They may find a way. They just may will it to get to college football playoff. And that would make a team like this dangerous. Somebody that's been scrapping every single Saturday.
All right, hey, let's shout out Cousin Glenn Warsaw, buddy. He gave us his predictions.
Yeah.
So I worked up a little graphic here. Cousin Glenn, he's got Texas, mighty Texas, beating Vanderbilt 24-17. He's got them Vols, Shane, and I believe he's a Sooner. He's got Tennessee beating Oklahoma 34-27. He's got Auburn beating Kentucky 20-10. He's got Georgia, mighty Georgia, beating Florida 31-20. Ole Miss beating South Carolina 38-28. And Mississippi State 66, Arkansas 63. How about that, buddy?
I like it because it's exactly the one I've got. I think you nailed it.
That means I'm going to be catching up to them, or I'm going to be fading to the pack.
Exactly. You know, come on, cousins. You've been doing great. Let's keep it going.
All right. So, hey, if the games play out the way you think they are,
yeah,
what will be the biggest storylines on Sunday?
The biggest one will probably be down there in Texas. Something's got to change. You know, I feel like at some point, if I feel like this game ends the way it is, I think we're going to look back and say, it's his fault, it's his fault, it's his fault. And we got to have some accountability. We can't just say the conference is tough. There's no coach speak after this one. If you lose to Vanderbilt and it's because of the offense, I feel like there needs to be some accountability.
Mm. Yeah, no, I hear you. I think the meltdown is going to be on Rocky Top, Shane. What if it goes the way I predicted? I mean, hell, Tennessee fans are already kind of like, I don't think Tennessee or Oklahoma fans are confident this week, are they?
No.
So I think the loser of that game is really going to be facing some heat. I think Texas, you know, I think they're going to be a big storyline, and people are going to start saying, okay, maybe this is the Texas, you know, because again, Vanderbilt's top 10. 2 weeks to prepare for Georgia.
Yeah.
You know, again, that'll be quite the close to the season, to where maybe I think the conversation swings back to, all right, Texas has not played their best football, right?
Yeah.
But we're 7-2. We got everything in front of us. And they can legitimately work their way into the SEC championship and obviously the college football playoff if they win out. So I think that's going to be a huge storyline. And I also think, Shane, I hate to do it, but I don't think it should happen. But remember, I picked Carolina to get their ass whooped. I think that conversation is going to heat up a little bit of, you know, Shane Beamer and the job he's doing. And yeah. I got Arkansas losing at home. So I think we could kind of write the eulogy for old Bobby Petrino and his motorcycle. His motorcycle will have to be put in the shop permanently if that happens. You know what?
Yeah, you're right.
Hey, we had a bunch of supers and everything. Man, it was hard to keep track of all this, but Wolfgang, for the love of God, go.
Thank you, Wolf.
Stringer, I believe Auburn has a 90% chance of coach search.
Yeah.
Would you agree with that, 90%, or do you think it's lower because all these jobs are opening? What's your thoughts on that?
I think it's lower. I think we're going to be sitting about 50-50 right now.
Ooh.
50-50. All right.
Does that change? I would think it would, but you tell me. Does that change if Auburn loses to Kentucky at home?
Oh, yeah.
what number then?
Well, I'm looking at Vanderbilt. I'm just being honest with you, Mike. I'm looking at Vanderbilt, Alabama as the losses.
Right.
And Kentucky and Mercer as the win. So that's why it's 50-50. So it jumps to 75 if Kentucky goes to, if you lose to Kentucky at home.
Right. I can't see in what world, Shane, they can keep this guy if he goes 5-7 in year 3.
Oh, I agree. I agree with you, man. If you're not making a bowl, I mean, he even said it. We laughed at him when he said bowling, going to a bowl is showing success. Do you remember that?
Oh, yeah. And he caught like, hell. And then he said, well, really, it's the playoff or whatever.
Yeah.
You know,
we're like, well, is it a bowl? I mean, what is it?
Hey, shout out David. David Fine, what's the best chocolate candy all time and the best hard candy all time? M-O-Z.
Chocolate, I would say... of all time. I'm going to tell you, brother, this, I don't know if you would consider it. It's like a bear claw, a candy. I mean,
that's a donut, Homer.
No, it's not a donut. So, bear claw? No, you're talking about, yeah. Let me explain. So, if you go to Savannah, Georgia, there's a place called River Sweets, River Treats, or something like that down there. You can't miss it. It's a sugar candy place. Right. And in there, they make this. It's called a bear claw. And like underneath it is like some sort of nuts. I want to say it's pecans or something like that. Then it's like a caramel and then a dark chocolate on top of it. So it's like a cluster, caramel cluster, if you will.
Is it any of these, Shane?
River Street Sweets is I believe, what the place is called.
Right here it is.
Oh, yes. Oh, my gosh. Give me some of those.
Those are just turtles.
Well, you call them whatever you want. I'm calling them what they call them down there. They call them bear claws.
Okay.
And they're phenomenal. Now, I got a whole box of these. We were going to gift. We got two boxes. We were going to gift one when we got to the house. Guess what? They never made it.
I didn't have to guess.
Not a shocker there. Not a shocker.
Hey, shout out Liquid.
Hard candy. Do you have a hard candy?
Oh, I'm not much of a hard candy guy, but you know the ones.
Werther's Original.
Yeah, Papaw used to always have those caramels. So those are good.
Yeah, caramels.
Old day, Trey Shane gifted.
Hell yeah. Come on, Trey.
JD, four teams in the National have led to 24 points. Auburn is number one. No other SEC team has done this. I don't understand that. Do you?
Four teams in National have held 24 points to Auburn. I can barely read with this stuff on.
But I will say this. How about this, Shane? Auburn has not scored on offense more than two touchdowns all season.
Damn.
And we're sitting here saying, well, should Hugh Freeze be given another year? Come on, get the hell out of here.
Now, we said that with Oklahoma, and they did it the next week. So you're due. You're due, Auburn.
That's true. Shout out, Adam West became a member. Adam, welcome to the family. And then Trey, All Day Trey, give us five memberships, Shane.
Hell yeah. Thank all you, cuz. All and day.
$5, even though y'all didn't pick my dog. Yeah, we did.
Yeah.
I'm feeling generous. Best prediction show ever. Go Dogs. We both picked Georgia.
Yeah, I mean, unless he's talking. I picked state, too, so I don't know what dogs we're talking.
Well, he's a Georgia man.
Georgia. I didn't like it by much, though.
Texas Traveler, I have zero confidence in my Horns offense, so I'll be pleasantly surprised if they survive Vandy.
Yeah. But it's a good loss, you know? It's a good loss.
SoCal Longhorn, appreciate you, buddy. And
thank you, cuz. Welcome to the family.
Cousin Lou gifted a membership. Thank you, Lou.
Thank you, Lou.
Frank Miller, Glenn ain't no sooner with those. And then shout out Jesse Sue. Appreciate you, Jesse. I mean, he's a diehard Gamecock.
Yes.
You know, you can't stay gone for long. You know what?
No, you can't. You can't keep a good cock down. You know, you just can't. So they'll be back. They will be back.
All right, buddy. Hey, anything else before I run out of oxygen and pass out over here?
No, again, I'm looking forward to seeing everybody this weekend. So, again, I think we're going to start at the Rex. We're going to migrate up to Circle Park probably and then go down to whatever it's called. What you call it? G20? I think, I don't know.
Giant parking lot right next to the stadium.
Right next to the stadium. And apparently the top spot is where I need to be. So that's where we're going to head.
Can you make it to the top?
Brother, I don't know, man. I mean, I can make it. I've been practicing.
Will you have any Tennessee legend with you?
I actually... actually, part of the deal, me getting these tickets, is I got to hand out some Tennessee Legend. So I'm going to be bringing a couple bottles for the Cuzzos. And I got some gear, too, that they gave me. So I'm going to hand some of that out. But I'm not allowed to do that in the thing. So it's not like, you know, like I'm giving it to you. This has nothing to do with Tennessee Legend. I have extra. So I'm bringing out because I want the Cousins to have some cool stuff. So, but shout out today goes to JP. Daniel's putting all this together. Thank you, JP. Shout outs go to Cousin JR, Trey Drawdy, Liquid Flames, Wolfgang Alpha, Mary Carver, Stephen Up, Stringer Films, David Fine, Andrew West, JD, Vala Nahara, Cousin Lou, Frank Miller, and Jesse Sewell. JP, again, I appreciate you putting this together, putting the effort in. Thank you so much. Appreciate it.
Absolutely. And that's going to do it for this episode. We will see you very, very soon. Hopefully on Saturday, I'll be doing power rankings, of course. And if there's any need for emergency podcasts, I'll be doing it each and every one of them. So, you had to do that in the bike. All right, but that's going to do it for this episode. We'll catch you on the next one. Happy Halloween!
No!
Hey, buddy, this beer's for you, Mike, and Cousin Shane. That SEC podcast loves the pirate, and the pirate loves that SEC podcast. Hail State.